بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still pondering upon the beautiful verses of Surah Al-A'la. And last time, we stopped at ayah number 6 and 7. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. We shall make you to recite, so you shall not forget except what Allah may will. He knows what is apparent and what is hidden. So the Prophet ﷺ was made to recite the verses of the Quran, and Allah Azza wa Jal told him that he would not forget except what Allah wills, and he should not forget. And it was reported that the Prophet ﷺ prayed once and recited a portion of the Quran, and after he finished the prayer, Ubay ibn Ka'b, may Allah be pleased with him, said that, O Prophet of Allah, you skipped one verse of the Quran, ayah so and so. And the Prophet said, glorify be Allah, wouldn't you have reminded me? And this is an incident which shows that Allah Azza wa Jal made his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam memorize the Quran, because Jibreel used to revise every single Ramadan the Quran with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet he may forget every now and then, especially in this incident, so that Allah would show the ummah that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a human being like us. He forgets, but he is in the perfect form of that of human beings. And we spoke about the fact that Allah may abrogate. And abrogation in the Quran is divided into three types. Abrogation of the rule while the verses stay and we recite them. And this example is given of the verses that deal with intoxicants. When Allah says, O you who believe, do not approach prayer while you are in state of intoxication until you are aware of what you say. We recite this in the Quran. But can someone say that we can apply this? And that says no. Intoxications are totally prohibited in Islam. So the ruling was abrogated, yet the verse itself is being recited. So they call this naskhul hukm, the abrogation of the ruling. And there is abrogation of the recitation while the ruling remains. And they give an example of the ayah of stoning. And in Islam, stoning is only for one specific crime, one specific sin. And that is, if a married person, whether still married or was divorced, but he did get married and he was married for a period of his life, if he commits adultery and he confesses, or four male witnesses testify that he did, he is to be stoned, or she is to be stoned to death. And this is proven in Islam. And this is the ruling. It was a verse that was recited, and then the verse was abrogated, but the ruling remained. So it is not found in the Quran anymore. Allah Azza wa Jal has removed it from the Quran. And one would claim and say that stoning is barbaric. No, it's not. It's a ruling from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you go to the Bible, you'll find stoning for everything. Even when an ox hits a man, he is to be stoned to death. If a man fornicates with the daughter of the priest who was supposed to be married, she's still a virgin, both to be stoned. If you insult the king, you should be stoned. If you're bad with your father or mother, the elders will take you to the outskirts of the village and stone you to death. And the list goes on and on. In Islam, it's only one specific sin. For someone who tasted marriage and knows the beauty of marriage, yet still goes to commit adultery, this is his punishment. The third type of abrogation is that was abrogated both from the Quran, so it's not recited, and the ruling as well is not there. In the beginning, it was a verse in the Quran that stated that when a child is suckled 10 times, he becomes the son of the mother who breastfed him. This was abrogated and it was reduced to 5 times, 5 suckles. So both were abrogated, the ruling and the recitation. Allah Azza wa Jal says that you will not forget except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you forget. And whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wills that you forget, He knows what is apparent and what is hidden. And this is what Allah's knowledge is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what had happened in the past. And Allah knows what is happening now. And Allah knows what will happen in the future. Not only that, Allah knows what did not happen in the future. How would it have been had it happened? So Allah's knowledge is vast and huge. And it covers everything. So Allah knows what's being appearing to the eyes and what is concealed and hidden. And that is why, no matter how hard you try, Allah knows everything you do, say, or even think of. And that is why when someone went to one of the scholars and said, give me an advice so that I would not sin, he told him, if you want to sin, go ahead and sin, but in a place where Allah Azza wa Jal does not see you or hear you. And the man said, Shaykh, this is not possible. There isn't any place anywhere in the heavens and the earth where Allah Azza wa Jal does not see or hear. So the scholar said, do you sin while Allah is looking at you and hearing what you do? And this by itself is a reminder. Allah says in ayah number 8, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَىٰ And we shall make easy for you the easy way. Al-yusr, easiness, making things happen smoothly. This only comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the affairs of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam at ease. Everything happened smoothly. And this does not go against Allah's trials and calamities. It goes side by side because the conclusion is what matters most. And Allah Azza wa Jal has made this ease for everyone. And even those who have been struck by calamities, ponder and think for a while, and you will find that Allah Azza wa Jal has made things easy for you. And this ease happens in good as well as evil. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Layl that those who give and fear Allah and believe Allah Azza wa Jal would make their affairs easy to what pleases Him. While those who belie and they don't give and they think that they have everything in their hands, Allah Azza wa Jal would make their affairs easy, but to hardship and to evil. So it is all from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you're with Allah, Allah will be with you. Allah Azza wa Jal has made things easy for all of us. As in the hadith, the companions came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, O Prophet of Allah, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it something that is being created now or something that Allah has preordained? The Prophet said, no, it's something that is preordained and it's over. You cannot do something out of the fold of what Allah had preordained. So they said, then why are we doing what we're doing? Shouldn't we sit back and just wait? He said, no, you have to act and you have to strive and do your best, because everyone will be helped by Allah Azza wa Jal. And his affairs would be made easy to what Allah had made it easy for. So, I don't know what Allah Azza wa Jal has preordained for me. I strive hard. I work. I try to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And nothing would happen except what Allah had preordained. But if I say, there's no hope, let me sin, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm going to do all the bad things because there's no use, Allah has preordained it, then this is what Allah has preordained and I will go to hell. Whenever you are with Allah Azza wa Jal, your affairs will be made easy. Whenever you trust Allah, depend on Him, and rely entirely on Him, you will find that things are easy for you. We have a short break. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى And we shall make easy for you the easy way. Whenever you are with Allah Azza wa Jal, your affairs will be made easy. Whenever you trust Allah, depend on Him, and rely entirely on Him, you will find that things are easy for you. From the previous set of ayat, we learn the following. One, we should glorify and purify Allah from whatever is not suitable for Him. And this means that whatever does not befit Allah, we should glorify Allah Azza wa Jal. So, if someone says that Allah sleeps or Allah gets tired, we say, no, this is impossible. Allah Azza wa Jal is all-powerful and all-strong, never gets weak or tired. We also learn from these verses that whenever we hear it, we should glorify Allah. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى Say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى When these verses were revealed, glorify and purify your Lord the Most High, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, keep this in your prostration. And the last verse of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ The Prophet said, keep this in your bowing, in your ruku'. And that is why in ruku' we say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ And in sujood, we say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. When your forehead is at the lowest point on earth, on the ground, you praise Allah, the Most High. Because as you are this low, Allah is that high. So, it is part of the dhikr when you prostrate to say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Also, the sunnah is, that you say this minimum of 3 times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, 3 times. And if you say 10 times, that it's even great, but the hadith is not authentic. The Prophet did not say it 10 times, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He used to prolong his prostration and praise Allah Azza wa Jal and glorify Him. We learn from these ayah, or set of ayat, that it is part of the sunnah to recite this surah in witr on Fridays and in the Eid prayers. This is what the Prophet used to do, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to love this surah because it gave him the glad tiding that he will not forget, and it also gave him the glad tiding that Allah would make easy for him the easy way. Allah would guide him to ease. Moving on to the following verses, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ Therefore, remind in case the reminder benefits them. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ This is an order to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, to remind. And this is a different of opinion among scholars. So they say, Remind, providing that your reminder would benefit them, would profit them. And if it doesn't, don't remind them. And the other opinion is, no. Remind them because the reminders would always benefit people. And this meaning and that, they're both applicable. If I know someone is not going to benefit from my reminders, I have the choice whether to give it to him or not. Because if I know for sure he is not going to benefit, I would not be doing such a good job because I would be wasting my time. Yet, the reward is there. So keep on doing it. Keep on giving him da'wah. And whether you like it or not, whatever you remind others with, they will benefit from it. If not now, later on. And that is why a true believer keeps on reminding and reminding, keeps on knocking the door until someone opens. I give you an example. In Arabia, in Saudi, and in most Muslim countries, not most of them, but some of them, if you tell people not to do haram, usually they comply. So if I go to a restaurant and the music is blowing, I don't listen to music, so I tell the receptionist or the waiter, please turn it off. If he doesn't listen to me, he says, I'm sorry because we have lots of customers, and I walk out and leave, and the following practicing Muslim comes and tells him the same, the third, the fifth, the tenth, the 100. After a while, the waiter or the owner of the restaurant would think and say, wow, I don't want to lose customers. I will turn it off. If the first one did not say and request and demand that it would be turned off, it would never be turned off. And it would be the norm. But because people keep on reminding, the reminders benefit these people to who they are given. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us to remind, because this reminder would benefit the people. Allah says, in showing us that, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The reminder will be received by him who fears Allah. Which means that after reminding people, there are two types of people. People who would benefit and fear Allah and implement this reminder in their lives, and people who would not benefit, would not implement, and would reject this reminder. And guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. No matter how you try, no matter what you do, guidance is in the hands of Allah. As Allah mentioned in chapter 9, verse 46, had they wanted to march out with you, they would have made their preparation. Yet they lagged behind. And Allah Azza wa Jalla abhorred them going out with you, so He made them sit back with those who did not go out with you. These are the hypocrites. If Allah Azza wa Jalla knows that you want to try hard, Allah would give you guidance. But if Allah Azza wa Jalla knows from you that you are lazy and you would lag behind, Allah would not give you guidance. Therefore, when a reminder comes to you, you should always keep this at the back of your mind. Are you among those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal? Are you among those who would be reminded and would benefit from such a reminder? Or you will reject it and say, I'm better than this. I don't need you and the likes of you to come and tell me what to do and what not to do. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Only those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal would remember. And this is a clear description which you can understand while reversing it, that those who do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal, do not remember. How many times do we go to people and tell them, Akhi, this is wrong, what you're doing is haram, Allah Azza wa Jal does not approve of that. And he says, just leave, it's not your business. The most abhorred talk, the most disliked rhetoric to Allah Azza wa Jal is when someone walks to his brother and tells him, fear Allah. And that person says, it's not your business. Mind your own business. The Prophet tells us that this is the most disliked statement in the sight of Allah. Allah hates this. Yet, Muslims and non-Muslims alike say this 24/7. Whenever you speak, whenever you talk, they say, mind your business. The Prophet tells us, those who fear Allah most will remember, which means that those who do not fear Allah will not remember. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. And in contrast, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. But it will be avoided by the wretched. the most miserable, the biggest loser, he will avoid that. This reminder is going to benefit those who fear Allah. But those losers by default, those miserable and wretched, will avoid it. And they will avoid it by choice. They're the ones who chose not to accept it. And why are they losers? Because Allah Azza wa Jal did not guide their hearts. We should glorify Allah Azza wa Jal. So, if someone says that Allah sleeps or Allah gets tired, we say, no, this is impossible. Allah Azza wa Jal is all-powerful and all-strong, never gets weak or tired. We also learn from these verses that whenever we hear it, we should glorify Allah. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, في أمان الله. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.